living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my home.
2 weeks from today, what is it? Easter. Easter, yeah. So we're doing a little different. You know, we got two services on Easter, 9 and 10:45. So basically, come to the 9 o'clock and bring friends to the 10:45. All right, that's the plan. Okay. But just keep that in mind, and it's just be praying. Be praying about who you can invite, and let's fill this up. We're in a series right now, just a couple Sundays. It's the second installment of Getting in the Flow with the Bible. I want to talk today about word pictures. Word pictures. Do you know what word pictures are? You know, well, I'm going to tell you what they are. They are phrases that help us see without pictures, without illustrations. They're using words to create an image for listeners or readers that is as powerful as a visual or a picture would be. So here's an example. The average kindergartner watches 5,000 hours of television. That's equivalent to earning a college degree. That's a word picture. The comparison gives us some reference point to be able to figure out what 5,000 hours feels like and looks like. Here's another one. Imagine seven Boeing 747s filled with children running into the side of a mountain every single day, and you get the idea of the effects of malaria on kids around the world. Not a very pleasant word picture, at least the kids are upstairs. What makes word pictures work is not so much putting together poetic or complicated words, but instead taking ordinary, everyday words and putting those together to describe something that a listener can feel and can see. So word pictures allow us to experience the words, not just to hear them. Well, you know who the best writer that ever existed is, right? It's God. He's the inventor of word pictures. And so today I'm gonna take some word pictures from the Bible that describe the Bible in hopes of increasing our appetite to get in the flow with the Bible, this incredible book that God has given us to know how to do life with Him. So Psalm 119, verses 65 to 72 is what we're going to read. If you would stand with me for the reading of God's Word. You know, Psalm 119 is basically one big love note to God about His Word. And so listen to the psalmist gush over his Bible. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The insolent smear me with lies, but with my whole heart I keep your precepts. Their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word this morning and ask that your spirit would till the hearts of our soil, that it would be good for this word that you're going to plant in us today. Stir up in us a hunger, like the psalmist says, your hunger for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, go ahead and be seated. So did you hear what he said? I mean, he had this view of God that he was the Lord, and a view of himself as he was God's servant. When the psalmist was leading his life, it was afflicted, full of problems. But then he saw God, and he saw him as good, and that he does good, and he wanted to know more, he wanted to learn more. He said, even when the insults came from the world, he was committed to God's word. You know, even when they say, well, you're just stupid to believe that book, that's old, that's been changed. You know, that's foolishness. He stayed committed to God's word. He saw purpose in his suffering. He saw it as good because it drove him to God's word. He says he would rather have his Bible than a fortune in his bank account. Now, I would say this guy has got the Bible stream flowing in his life. He's gotten in the flow, and that's where we want to go, because it's knowing God better. It's knowing His will and His way and submitting to that more. It's wanting to learn more. It's seeing good in all of our circumstances, no matter what they are. It's being able to say, I would rather have this than a full bank account. That's where we want to go. These word pictures, I hope, will help. The Bible is a guide for our life. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So the Bible is a lamp. Now that verse describes somebody that's going somewhere. And along the way, it's dark. And so they need a light. They need a lamp. Helps them from wandering off, from falling down or stumbling. Helps them from getting lost. Those are the things that we get out of that verse. Well, we're all going somewhere. We're all on the journey of life. And sometimes it's dark. It's dark. And so when we don't know what to do or which way to go, the Bible can be a light for us. Keep us from wandering off and falling down and getting lost. I like to remember this acronym for the Bible, B-I-B-L-E. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Not a bad one to write down. Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Because the Bible will shed light on just about every aspect of life that you can think of. Did you know that the Bible is a time management book? It has instructions for us on time. Proverbs 6, 10 and 11. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an unarmed man. Psalm 90 verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Time management book. It's also a marriage manual. Ephesians 5:33. Let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Instructions for marriage. Instructions for parenting. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. We don't want that. Shame to your mother. Don't do that. Parenting instructions. And, you know, it's a book on sex. Whole book devoted to that, Song of Solomon. But Proverbs 5:19 says, a lovely deer, a graceful doe, let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. The Bible has got light for your family life. All aspects of it. You know, it can be a lamp for students who are trying to finish a semester strong. You know? Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be a fool, kids. Finish strong. It can help you at work. The Bible is a great addendum to your employee handbook. Colossians 3:23 and 24, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And you thought you were working for your boss. It's an employee handbook. There's financial advice in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You can find light in there for your career. Ephesians 4, 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, see that he may have something to share, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Retirement advice in here. Acts 20:24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Actually, there's no retirement in the Bible. You can find light in here for your heart when you're struggling with darkness. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Light for your darkness. Now, sometimes it gives us light on our path by telling us what not to do. Like, here's something for our worship. Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules they have been taught. Got to put our heart into it. And then there's advice in here for relationships. Philippians 2:1-4. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. How many relationships would be healed if we would do that? There's light for leadership in here. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow me as I follow Christ. That's great leadership training. Right there. And there's a light for fighting. Fighting the good fight that we fight. Deuteronomy 20 verses 1 to 4. When you go out to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army larger than your own, you shall not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when you draw near to the battle, the priest shall come forward and speak to the people and shall say to them, hear, O Israel, today you are drawing near for battle against your enemies. Let not your heart be faint. Do not fear or panic or be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is he who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you the victory. Why would we fear if we could remember that verse? And that is just the tip of the iceberg of the light that we can get for our life by getting in the flow with the Bible. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, everything that we read is not going to be easy to apply or to walk in. But we walk by faith and not by sight. And so if we try to follow where it leads. You know, you got to remember, a lamp only gives you so much light. I remember one time at a men's flex weekend that I put on. 40 guys came with me out to the woods, and one guy brought this. Well, it was a monster flashlight. I can't explain it. I mean, it was described as having candle power. You know, something monster. And what we did, we went up on the top of this hill and we shined it up into the sky. And it just kind of disappeared. Lamps are designed to show you what's right in front of you. Just right in front of you. It just gets rid of the darkness around you. And so the Bible will lead us to walk by faith, trusting in who God is and what He's said, and that His way is best, even when we don't understand it. We can trust that it will not lead us astray. If we would live our lives with our lamp, with our light, at the end of it, I can promise you this. When you see Jesus, you're going to hear, well done. And you're going to look back and go, that was the best life I could have lived. If we follow the lamp. Second word picture comes to us from Jeremiah 23:29. It's not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. Well, these two word pictures take us right into the blacksmith shop, where the fire and the hammer are used to mold and to shape pieces of metal into something useful, something that has a purpose. And the Bible works in a very similar fashion. Very similar fashion. It reveals to us the condition of our hearts. It reveals to us our attitude toward God and His will and His way. And it shows us our desire and our ability to carry out what He's asked us to do. Now, this isn't one of those word pictures that conjures up a pleasant experience, much like the 747s going into the side of a mountain full of children. No, this is a painful experience. So we look to the end result for motivation. To have a heart and life that look more like Jesus. To be that kind of person. And to be that kind of person, which is God's will for us, we've got to go through the blacksmith shop. Now think of what that looks like. Having faith that can move a mountain. Revealing the power of God to those around you who don't believe. Having that kind of faith. Having love that pours out of you to difficult people. Having joy that comes out when it should be you're disgruntled. Having peace when you should be worried. Your eyes have kind of turned from the things of this world and they're focused on the things of heaven. And so you're living a holy, contented, happy life. You're a slave to God as opposed to being a slave to your sin. And so what that means in your life is there is more life in your life than there is death. You're quick to obey Him. You rejoice in His goodness to you. Every day you're thanking Him for His blessings. And your compassion for the lost grows by day. You see them. You see that their greatest need is to have Jesus in their life and you speak His name as you have opportunity. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want to be like that? Living your life like Jesus was living it, if He was living it in your place. Who wouldn't want it? Well, the path to that kind of life goes through the blacksmith shop. It goes through the process of transformation where He, basically, we put ourselves in His hands and then the fire comes to us and the hammer comes to us. And begins to shape us. It gives our heart a makeover. Unfortunately, there's no way around it. There's no shortcuts to this. Just like there's only one place you can go to take care of tooth decay, there's only one place you can go to take care of heart decay. Through the blacksmith. Now the fire is used to heat up the metal. To soften it so it can be shaped. When the hammer is used on metal that's been softened and then hardened and it hits that, the metal breaks. So we need the fire and the hammer working together to shape us into something. Something useful. Something that can be used for God's kingdom. Now it's really hard for me to point you to a particular passage of Scripture that would be fire and hammer for you because your life is different than my life. Your hearts are different than my heart. Your experiences are different. So the Bible's going to speak to us differently, but I wanted to tell you, I've experienced the fire and the hammer over the 21 years of following the Lord. I've experienced it over and over again, over and continue to do that, to experience it to this day. I mean, several of the verses I shared with you to illustrate the lamp started off as fire and hammer in my life. Several of them. Well, in Philippians 3, there's a group of verses that God has used in so many ways for me, and He continues to do that. And He started when I began to know Him, and now as I continue to want to know Him more, I want to read them to you. It's Philippians 3, verses 7 to 14. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now those verses are packed with truth for me. They are packed with the fire and the hammer because they call out my devotion to God. They call out my passion for Jesus. They reveal to me the competition that's going on in my heart for God's love. Constantly, you know, just reading them. And they call to me again and again to this place of letting go of my life, letting go of my ambitions, of my aspirations, and cling to His glory and His kingdom growing. That's what those verses do for me. Now, like Paul says, I have not already attained it. I'm not perfect, but I'm pressing on. I am in pursuit of that. That prize that I'll get when I get there. What is that prize? His face, His words, His touch. I cannot wait. And all I have to do is read those, and I can feel the heat heat up, and I can feel the hammer fall. And I'm looking forward to the day when I can say all of my affections are placed on my Jesus. Now, probably the most difficult part of being transformed by the blacksmith is putting yourself, you know, your true self, not the one you pretend to be on Sunday. Your true self, your mask comes off. And you put yourself in His hands, just as you are. And He wraps His arms around you as He does His work. It's an experience of humility. It's an experience of trust and great love. And it's an experience of repentance. And on the other side of it, it is good. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And we've got a powerful book described there as a double-edged sword for our heart, fire and hammer for our transformation, if we get into the flow with it every day. And one last one, last word picture for you today. It comes from John chapter 1. The Bible is a man. John 1, 1 to 5, and then verse 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So one of the most exciting and motivating and mysterious word pictures of the Bible is this one. Jesus is called the Word of God. And as you look to the Bible for light for your life, as you experience the fire and the hammer of His transformation, along the way, you'll have encounters with the living, risen Christ. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In John 16, 3, He said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak in it on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come." In John 17:17, when Jesus was praying before they left the upper room, he said, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. Can you see some connections there, some things weaving together? So when you're reading along in your Bible, and you come across this passage of Scripture, and it just seems to leap off the page at you, you know, it just reads louder. It's like, in that moment, God's highlighting it for you. What's happening right there is you are experiencing truth. You're having a moment of truth with the Bible. And you know, something that's going on in your life, it comes up. That's where the word is living and active. Now, in that moment, realize you are having an encounter with the risen Christ that's being initiated and guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, if that doesn't make you want to get in your Bible, I don't know what does. I mean, this isn't just an instruction manual. It's not just the blueprint for your heart makeover. This is a spiritual book. And when you get into the flow, it leads you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. It leads you to a deeper knowledge of Him, a deeper intimacy with Him. And all of that translates to a deeper experience of eternal life. You can have it today. In Psalm 51, verses 12 and 13, it says, restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Well, years ago when I was reading those verses, the Spirit guided me into truth. And He said, Greg, this is your life. And I could put dates on the verses. 1994, He restored to me the joy of His salvation. Something I'd known about all my life, thought I had it, but then He gave it to me. Restored to me the joy of my salvation. In 1999, I submitted myself to His will and went into full-time ministry. But in the in-between time, I was doing that. And He was leading me and He was guiding me. So grant me a willing spirit. I left that weekend when I got saved saying, I don't want to say no to God. I don't ever want to say no to God. He's my God. He's my Lord. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. And so that led me to all kinds of things that really all centered around church. Leading some small groups, subbing for the pastor on Sunday morning a couple times, meeting with men early in the morning, encouraging them, follow me as I follow Christ. Granting me this willing spirit. That's what God did. Then in 99, said yes to full-time ministry, and all hell broke loose in our lives. Three parents with cancer, one passing on to be with the Lord from that. Relational conflict. Satanic attacks from all sides. Friends walking away from us. Financial struggles. Ups and downs physically, emotionally, and spiritually of every single kind that you can imagine. Before ministry, my life was Disneyland. I didn't think it was, but it was. But all of that, through all of it, God has sustained me, us, Lori and I. Through all of that. Because I'm telling you, there is nothing like living for Him. There is nothing like walking in the center of His will. By picking up your cross every day and following Him only for His smile to get bigger and His song to get louder over me. That's what I want. I have to have a willing spirit. And He's granted me that. And it has sustained us. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. That was a discovery process for me. I never thought I'd be preaching God's word to people. Never thought. But I just didn't want to say no. And God said, okay. Here you go. And then the last part, I will sinners will turn back to you. That's God's part. That was His promise to me. It's nothing I do. I trust in Him to do that. And that's happened. It's happened here. Right in our midst. People turning their lives back over to Him. And so, I continue to count everything as loss compared to knowing Jesus. And I press on toward the goal to which He has called me. 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For these light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes on what is unseen, not on what is seen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. More words that Jesus and I met together on. And He just spoke them over me and over me to encourage my heart. Now listen, that can happen for you. It can happen for you if you would get in the flow with the Bible. You know, when I learned this, it totally transformed my desire to get in the Bible and to read. I mean, listen, I'm not a reader, okay? I'll just confess it. You can ask my family. I'd rather watch the movie than catch the book. So I don't really consider myself a very good student. It's just, you know, not in me. I'd rather chop wood. But knowing that I can hear from God, that I can be guided by His Spirit to having an encounter with the risen Christ, takes me back to the same book, the same stories, the same words, again and again and again, because of who is waiting for me when I go there. It can happen for you. Now, I don't know what you're thinking here. You know, I'm sure some of you have experienced that, but you know, this sounds a little out there, dude. Is this Bible teaching? Are you talking about some experiential thing? It's just like the Emmaus Road. You know, the end of Luke. I'll jump there. We won't get there for about 2 years. End of Luke. Luke 24, verses 13 to 32. It records two men walking on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion. And Jesus has risen. And these guys, they're talking about all the events in Jerusalem. And Jesus comes up to them and He starts to walk with them and He starts to engage them in conversation and He begins to explain to them how the scriptures had to be fulfilled all the way from Moses all the way through the prophets. So these guys got some incredible Bible teaching on the road to Emmaus. Now they didn't recognize that it was Him at first. They sit down and they share a meal and then it's revealed to them that this is Jesus and then He disappears. It says in Luke 30 to 32, when He was at the table with them, Jesus, He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized Him, and He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? It can happen to you if you will get in the flow with the Bible. When the light turns on, the fire heats up, and the hammer falls, understand this. The Spirit is leading you to Christ, to meet with Him. You may not recognize it at first, but He's there. He's waiting for you. He's waiting. Let's have our worship team back up. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 9, there's a description in there of how God wanted His people to weave His word into their lives. And I don't believe His desire has changed at all for His people, for New Testament believers. Now, the purpose for us doing that's different than it was for them in the Old Testament, but I believe His desire is the same. He wants us to weave the Word of God into our lives. So I'm going to read that. And then I got just a short video to show you of some Chinese Christians receiving their first Bible. And then we'll sing. Let's stand. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your sons and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the instructions that it gives us for life. Thank you for the transformation that happens in our hearts when we dive in and listen. And thank you that it can guide us right into your very presence and find you when we can't seem to find you anyplace else. So Lord, I would ask that you might stir up in us a hunger for being with you, for going deeper, for trusting more. Father, call us to the prayer closet. Call us to these words. Because I know that as we go in there, you'll meet us and do your work in us. Let this be the year that we find, eat, and delight in your word and become people of God's word, like Jesus was. Lord, as we go, I pray for your protection over your people, that you'd guide them to the needy, that you'd give them willing hearts and hands and mouths, and that you'd use them in extraordinary ways this week for your glory and for your kingdom's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wednesday, we're getting together to pray and get in this Bible for prayer, fresh encounter. Come and be with us. You want to see miracles on Easter? Starts on Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Lord bless you.